If you are just joining us, this sermon is actually part two of what I started yesterday morning, and if you missed it, well, tough. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to give you the short version of what I covered yesterday, and my title was and is tonight still, The Inconvenience of Christmas, How God Messed Up My Life. I know a pastor shouldn't be saying that, but I thought about it, though, as I was preparing, that nowadays Christmas just gets so commercialized, doesn't it? And it gets so consumerized that it can bring more stress than joy if we let it. Aunt Tilly needs this, and Grandpa Joe, he has to get that, and it just goes on and on and on, right? But that wasn't the greatest inconvenience of Christmas I was talking about. I talked about how Jesus at Christmas, which we celebrate, obviously, this time of year at his birth, really messed up a good thing we had going on in the world. From Joseph and Mary having to deal with an unplanned pregnancy, and then having to be on the move, and sometimes even on the run. From all the families I shared with you had their children executed by King Herod, who was the king at the time, and he attempted to snuff out any challenge to his throne. From the religious folks who had their systems down and years of all the holy laws and decrees that they loved and they enjoyed, all the honor, all the things that they received in holding that position messed up. From the disciples who met this Jesus while they were living their own lives, some with businesses, some with families, and they left it all and followed him. How inconvenient. We saw a couple of people who Jesus met along the way, like the rich man who thought that he was good to go until he asked Jesus, "What do I still lack? I've got it all together, Jesus. Come on. Look at me." And Jesus told him he lacked one thing. Sell it all and follow me. How would that sit with your religion today, I wonder? Some folks think quite the opposite and say, "Give me all and then I'll follow you, Jesus." And then we saw people who close their eyes and their resources to help others who are in need. And they asked him, well, Jesus, when did we see you like that? You remember when he says, "What you've done to the least of these, you've done to me." Or didn't do. Boy, that'll mess you up. One of the greatest inconveniences of Christmas isn't what to get Aunt Tilly. It is that Jesus took away our excuses to live our lives for us. We want to build our comforts, and these comforts insulate us from the need around us. We want to write our own meanings of religion and what a right relationship with Jesus seems to be like or should be like to us. Some want to just live in some dreamy social media circle where happiness and contentment depends on how many likes they get on their posts. Oh, we love doing little things here and there for Jesus, maybe. And I believe that he loves that we do those things, perhaps even in his name. He loves when the hungry get fed, and he loves when we give drink to the thirsty, and we welcome the stranger, and we clothe the naked, and we visit the sick and those who are in prison, as he mentions in that text. This stuff, I believe, thrills Jesus to the core. But do you know that you can do all of those things without the proper connection and without the right relationship, and it mean nothing eternally? Some of the most scariest words Jesus ever spoke are recorded for us in Matthew chapter 7. I invite you to look with me there. Matthew chapter 7, and I say this with a warning, this is going to mess up your version of Christmas. But it's a good thing. Matthew chapter 7, let me just read verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. If I could sum that text up in just one word of what Jesus wants more than anything this Christmas, is a relationship. A deep, personal, one-on-one relationship with us. I wonder tonight, what is your relationship with Jesus? I'm not asking you how you grew up in your history and if your parents drug you to church or not or all those sorts of things or if you just come on special occasions just to grace us with your presence. We love you. But what does your relationship look like day to day with him? The ones in this crowd that Jesus was talking to had a relationship with Jesus. But it was on their terms, obviously. Seems like this crowd said all the right words. Lord, Lord. Seems like this crowd might have been doing some really, really good stuff. And maybe that's you. Maybe you have said a prayer somewhere along the way in your life. Maybe you're involved in doing good things for people. Maybe Christmas is just about being kind and giving gifts and making it to church. Oh, can I tell you tonight? The inconvenience of Christmas is that when Jesus came into the world, he turned it upside down. From the highest to the lowest of folks, he would bring what was needed most. You probably wouldn't find it on any Christmas list, but it is what we all needed, and that is the forgiveness of our sins so that we may be right with the Son of God. Amen. See, sometimes our version of Christmas and his version of Christmas can be two very different things, right? Amen. And that's what we see in the text, isn't it? These folks said the right things and even did the right things, but there was no heart connection. Therefore, it meant nothing. See, Christmas is inconvenient for me and it messed up my life because it truly says, I don't care and I don't want what you say and do. I don't want your version of Christmas or your version of religion. I want you. I want your heart. I want your life. I want all the time, not just once a year. How inconvenient is that? You mean I can't have Jesus on my terms? I can't love this cuddly little baby Jesus in the manger without accepting his full authority over my life? I can't smile at the story of him being born. How cute. And skip all that cross stuff. I can't live my life the way I want to without having to face this thing called Judgment Day? I don't want to have to answer for anything that I have done. Well, sure you can. You can have that way of life. You can make that choice. They did in this text until verse 22. Until verse 22, their life was awesome. What does 22 say? On that day. Say a little here, they can do a little there, live life the way they defined it, and thought they were good to go. Much like today, we can say some Jesus stuff, we can do some church stuff, and live our lives the rest of the time for us, and never wonder, what does Jesus really want from me? Until that day. It's when, in this text, they are standing before him at the end of life, and they are rattling off all the lists of the good things that they have done. And Jesus says, I never knew you. Oh, Jesus, wait, time out. I thought everybody gets in. I thought everybody gets a trophy in this race. Mm-mm. How messed up and inconvenient is that? I'll tell you how much. It's an eternity. See, Christmas is the gift that reminds me of eternity. It reminds me of a Savior that was born who would ultimately die for me to pay for the penalty of my sins and yours. It reminds me of an offer. I can live my life for me, doing it my way, or I can come to Him. I can come to Him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind and all my strength. Amen. And if I can be honest, I'm kind of glad that the first Christmas recorded for us in the Scriptures messed me up. Because if I kept living for me, I would miss an eternity with Him. How about you, friend? What does all this mean to you? When you look at your life through heaven's eyes, what do you see? What do you see? I pray that it's more than just tonight. It's more than just making it a few times a year for the special holidays. I pray that your life is defined as how God defines it. That when you give your life to Him, when you confess Him as your Lord and Savior and believe in Him with all of your heart, He now owns you. And from that day forward, everything is done for Him. And what you do for the least of these might be inconvenient. And how you give and how you live and all the time that you spend and what you give up and sacrifice along the way, all of that never goes unnoticed to Almighty God, who sees even tonight down into every one of our hearts and knows exactly where we are. Oh, my friend, I pray tonight that you feel that and you know that. And tonight, instead of thinking about the gifts that you would get tomorrow or whenever you celebrate, tonight you'd think about the greatest gift you could give, and that is of yourself to the Almighty Jesus Christ.